In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, completing today a series on the flawless chronology, the wonderful way in which God times the events of our lives. I've given you some stories from the Bible. I've given you stories from my own experience and from others' experience. And now I want to answer a question that has been in my file for a long time. I had a letter from a woman named Doreen O'Donnell asking me how I met my second husband. Some of you know that I met my first husband because we were students together at Wheaton College in Illinois. And I was invited to speak in Cincinnati one time for a church, and I had a very good time with the pastor and his wife during that weekend. That pastor was sent to a little place out in Missouri called Tarkio, where he was the chaplain of Tarkio College. And a year or so after I had spoken in his church, he called me to ask if I would come and speak to the students in Tarkio. So I went, and when I got there, I was looking forward to spending a very happy Saturday with these dear friends, people who had become dear friends, this pastor and his wife. And to my dismay, his wife said, "Well, we have arranged for Dr. Leach to come and talk to you this afternoon." And I said, "Well, who in the world is Dr. Leach, and why in the world would I want to talk to him?" "Oh," she said, "you're going to love this man. He's a marvelous man. He's the vice president of this college, and he wants to talk to you about coming to speak next summer for an event." And I was pretty put out with my hostess because I really was looking forward to spending that afternoon with her. But Dr. Addison Leach came over, and the two of us sat in the living room by the fire, and we talked. And we talked, and we talked, and we talked. And we discovered that we had a great many things in common. I also knew from my friend before he arrived that his wife was extremely ill with cancer. Well, that's a long story, but you can guess what the end of the story is. His wife did indeed die about a year later. And in the following year, I became Mrs. Addison Leach. I knew that I might be very likely be widowed again because my husband was 18 years older than I. I didn't expect it to be quite so soon. We had 4.5 years together, and he died of cancer. But when he was dying, I needed some help in the house. And so I approached the seminary to find out if there was a student there who might be willing to come and live in my house and help me take care of my husband. He was needing 24-hour-a-day kind of nursing care. And so a very fine young man was recommended to me, and he came over for an interview, and I accepted him and told him that he could move in on the following Monday. On Monday, my husband died. Naturally, this young man assumed he was not going to be needed. But as I thought about my future, I realized my house was very empty. My daughter had left for college, and I was prepared to have this young man living there. The room was ready for him, and I had an extra room as well. And so I thought, well, why not have this young man come anyway, which he did. Then I had something else to think about immediately. How does it look for a widow, even if she's old enough to be his mother, to be living with a young man who was considerably older than most of the students in that seminary? I thought, it doesn't look very good. I better get a second man. So I called the seminary to see if there was another man looking for a place to live in a private home, and they sent down a second man. These two men were star boarders. They were both Southern gentlemen. They couldn't have been more helpful. They did all sorts of extra things that I had never required them to do, helping me carry the groceries in and waiting on the table and washing dishes and many things. They lived in my house for 2 years. Lodger number one married my daughter. Lodger number two married me. His name is Lars Grin. God's amazing chronology. A young man had asked for the second room on a Tuesday. I said he could have it, and he said, well, I'll let you know on Thursday whether I'm going to go home to Boston every day or whether I'm going to want this room. Now, if that man had decided that he was going to take the room, of course, Lars Grin would not have moved in. And Lars, in the meantime, had found another place to live, but the lady said, you can't move in until next Sunday. So when he got back to the seminary and found out that there was a room available now, he came. God's amazing timing. Philippians 3, verses 18 to 21, Paul says, for as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. I wanted you to remember that phrase, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. I could not imagine marrying a third time. I couldn't imagine marrying a second time. In fact, I thought it was a miracle that I got married the first time. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. God has promised to supply all our needs. He has said to us, don't worry about anything whatever. May I see the hands of those of you who can honestly say that you've never worried about anything whatever? Well, of course, I can't see your hands, but you know who you are. Don't we worry about all kinds of things? Trivialities and big things, scary things, the future. What are we going to do for money? What's my daughter going to do for a husband? What's this? What's that? How are we going to cope with that? What is it you're worrying about today? I don't know, but you know, God knows. And the command is, don't worry about anything, whatever. Be content with what you have. Well, that's easy for you to say. Somebody's probably saying, oh, Elizabeth Elliot, she's really got it made. Well, maybe it is easy for me to say now, in a sense. But all the married folks listening to me would agree that tying that knot does not eliminate, from the wedding day until death us do part, all discontent, all worry. Nor does it make saints out of any of us. In fact, I find I'm much more of a sinner when I live with somebody. So I certainly was not looking for a third husband. In fact, I've kept my mother's rule. She gave me this simple rule when I was about 13. Keep them at arm's length and don't chase boys. I kept the rules, and God in his amazing providence decided to give me not one, not two, but three husbands. Now, some of you are saying, why doesn't she accept her third husband's name? Well, I do. If you get a letter from me, it will be on stationery that has my name, Mrs. Lars Grin, at the top. But unfortunately, publishers don't take kindly to authors who change their names every now and then. How would it look on my books if I had put down my maiden name and all my other names? It would be a book by Elizabeth Howard Elliot Leach Grin. Not a good idea. If people have heard of me at all, it might be because of my books, and they recognize the pen name. So rest assured, I am Elizabeth Grin. I am Mrs. Lars Grin. I know I didn't deserve even one husband. It certainly wasn't my idea to have a second. Why should I tell you these strange stories? Well, because you ask. I get many, many letters asking all kinds of questions. So I give you some homey stories. But I want to illustrate that we do not know God's plan for our lives. We don't need to know God's plan for our lives. Young people, college kids, often say, "How do you think I can find the will of God for my life?" My answer is, you can't. You can't find out the will of God for your life, but I can tell you what the will of God is for you today. And they look at me with shock. "Well, how do you know what the will of God is for me today?" And I said, "Well, you're a student, aren't you?" "Yes." "Well, then the will of God for you is to study. Don't plagiarize. Don't cheat on your exams. Don't disrespect your professor. And here's a tough one. How about being nice to your roommate for a change?" God's plan for our lives is unfolded hour by hour, day by day, week by week. And here's a verse to hang on to, Joshua 21, verse 45. "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." And you're listening to a woman who can say almost exactly the same words. "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to me have failed. Every one has been fulfilled." God bless you.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.